And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Chase McCabe in for Joe Rex Road today. Michelle Pesovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Our fearless leader, Charles McCabe.
How are we doing? How are we doing, Robbie? Good to see you. Good to see you, Michelle. Thanks for having me today. Good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Michelle, how are you? What's going on?
Guys, doing good this morning. Chase beat me here. He had his large coffee as well.
Wow.
You know, listen, I'm awake this morning, but you know when, like, your eyeballs aren't awake quite yet? Just got to adjust to the light, but it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, you're also going on vacation, so are you, like, I kind of feel like the struggle could be real for you today. So it's like, oh, I'm almost there.
I'm so close. I don't know what's worse, right? The day before you leave, so I won't be in tomorrow. So is today worse or when I come back on Tuesday?
That's a good question.
Coming back's always worse, I think.
Yeah. Robbie's like, nope, got that one. Worse.
Yeah. I think you're right.
It's like, when you have like the 8-hour drive to the beach, you don't really mind driving the 8 hours down there. It's 8 hours back. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. So, yeah, I'm excited about today. It's going
to
be fun.
We got a lot to get to today. Obviously, game two coming up tonight between the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche. We'll get Chase's thoughts on the Ryan Tannehill fiasco that – I went nuts about yesterday. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. What a night in sports last night. My beloved Miami Heat go up 2-0 in their series against Philadelphia. So hope you've been listening to me on the FanDuel spots, because I've told you that's going to be coming at this point. 119-103 win against Philadelphia. The Suns take down the Mavs 129-109. And Chase, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, this is what I was saying yesterday. Sometimes I think it's easy to overreact to game one. And I saw a lot of that really the first day of the playoffs, with especially the Tampa Bay-Toronto. Now, I get it. It's Toronto. And when they're doing good, the media up there, it's loud. But the amount of people just like burying the Tampa Bay Lightning the other day, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, I know.
And then all of a sudden the Lightning come out last night, look a little bit more like the Tampa Bay Lightning. They win 5-3. The Wild win 6-2 last night against the Blues. And Edmonton totally destroys L.A. last night. So some role reversal for some teams last night in Game 2 after pretty poor showings in Game 1.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me at all that Tampa came back and beat Toronto. Now, I thought it might be a little bit closer. Yeah, I mean, the final score is not indicative of how that game went.
Nope.
Because Tampa Bay pretty much dominated the whole thing. Toronto got a couple of goals towards the end, but... Minnesota coming back on St. Louis, even though I thought St. Louis could go up 2-0. I like Minnesota's resolve. Edmonton didn't surprise me at all. I think LA is they're frauds. Like if Edmonton loses to LA, then just go ahead and sell the franchise. That's kind of where I think they are at this point. But Edmonton is the much better team, and they should win this series. So the fact that they dropped game one was surprising, but they bounce back 6-0. The series that I find fascinating is Carolina-Boston, because honestly, I don't think it's going to be a sweep, but it wouldn't surprise me. I just think Carolina is so much better than Boston. Well, Carolina is really good.
They're really good, and they've been better, I mean, pretty significantly through the first two games. Now, they lost Ronta last night on a play by, you know, Pasternak driving towards the net. And basically does like a drive-by on the goalie. So you lose your goalie last night, but didn't really seem to matter. The backup comes in, whose name I can't pronounce, and they shut the door last night. So Carolina up 2-0. So it's not a guarantee that all of a sudden in game two things are going to get better. But for Predators fans that were just, I guess, totally abandoning hope after game one, game two a lot of times can be different, and Chase is going to have to be tonight. I mean, obviously – you can't have a repeat performance of that first period tonight and think you're going to have any prayer whatsoever in this series. So if you're the Predators, you got to come out tonight with obviously better execution, but I think a better intensity level, better focus as well, because it kind of felt to me like the Predators in the first period of game one, yes, Colorado's good. Yes, they're fast. I think the Predators helped them out a whole lot in that first period, and they were going through the motions a little bit, and you don't have time to do that in the playoffs, especially against a team like Colorado.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, you got to stay out of the box, don't make dumb penalties, and you got to help your goaltender out, whoever it is tonight, which I know we're going to discuss at length of what they need to do, but you don't have UC Saros. You don't. And this this talk of he's out at least the first two games, he's not going to be back for game three, I don't think. I think if he is, it's because they're rushing him back because they're likely down 0-2 in that scenario. So you got to go out and you got to weather the storm. You got to play smart. Play your brand of hockey. That's fine. Nobody's asking you not to do that. But that identity that we talk about and John Hines talks about, I haven't truly seen that really in the last 6 weeks.
Yep.
There have been glimpses of it, but what we saw mid-season, which I think if this team is playing like it did mid-season when Yossi was on this point streak and they were at their best, I still don't know if they beat Colorado, but it's much closer than what we saw the other night.
Okay.
But bounce backs happen. We've seen this team bounce back before, so it wouldn't shock me if there is a bit of a bounce back tonight, but you have a very little margin for error tonight against Colorado.
Well, defensively, there's got to be a commitment defensively, regardless of who's in goal. And we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But regardless of who's in goal, it's got to get better on that side of the ice. I mean, you've got St. Louis. The St. Louis game, you gave up 8, gave up 6 against Tampa, 5 against Minnesota, 5 against Calgary, 4 against Colorado in the regular season, and then 5 against Arizona, and then the 7th spot in the game 1 of the playoffs. I mean, that's what your last 2 weeks have looked like in the regular season and in the first round of the playoffs, with one exception in there. You gave up to 2 on the 19th against Calgary. Other than that, you're giving up at least 4 a game. And, I mean, you just can't win that way in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I listened yesterday when you guys did Jared versus Joe, and I thought you made an interesting point towards the end of it, because I know Jared is very much on the, blame Hines and get rid of Hines. And a lot of Preds fans are. I mean, he's not the only one, for sure. Now, do I think John Hines is completely, he has no blame? Absolutely not. I mean, he's head coach, so that's a part of it. But I think that, because I know a lot of people have asked me, how is this team only an 8 seed when you had 240 goal scorers for the first time in history? They've scored a total of 262 goals, which is second in franchise history, the best year that they've had, to 06-07. You had 5 players at 60 points or more, which is the first time they've ever done that. Honestly, it's defense. I think that we know what Yossi is. He's likely to win the Norris. Maybe it's Makar, but it's going to be tight. But he's obviously in that conversation. I think Ekholm is still underrated. But then after that, there's a drop-off. Dante Fabbro is what he is, but he hasn't become what they had hoped he would be. Carrier's still young. And then, the third pair is the third pair. So I think that's where the deficiencies lie. And, Saros didn't play to his, I think, level, the last quarter of the season, maybe a little bit less than that. But, he certainly had to be better. And then now, obviously, you've gone to Riddick and maybe Ingram. So there's and I think this style of play has beaten them down. And that's where I do blame Hines, that I think that this system works, but knowing that going into this season that this was going to be the first time that a lot of these young players had experienced an 82-game season in their careers, it's been 2 years since an 82-game season was – well, 3 years since an 82-game season was played. You had to factor that in, and I don't feel like they did. So that's where I do put some of the blame on Hines.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. James on the text line says, it'll be a bit of a victory if we can just get past the first 2 minutes without committing a penalty. That is something that's been a big problem lately.
He's not wrong.
I mean, it's – count them up over the last 3 weeks of how many times they've taken penalties early in games. They've gone on the penalty kill, and they've ended up trailing in the game. I mean, that was exactly what happened the other night. Michael McCarron takes a high-sticking penalty 2:08 into the game, and all of a sudden you're giving, Nathan MacKinnon a look from the slot. He's going to bury that every time. You can't have that tonight. Now, I understand, we've talked so much about the penalties this year that I'm almost sick of talking about it, because – at this point, it just kind of is what it is. They're going to take some penalties, but they've got to be smarter in that area. You're going to take penalties anyway, chasing Colorado around. You can't have your stick fouls early in games to not, I mean, it just takes you so much out of your flow. Even if they don't score, you're just out of your flow that way. And the problem is lately they have been scoring no matter who you put on the power play. That's not good.
Yeah, no, and that's where you just have to be smart. Like you said, you're going to take penalties. I mean, that's just how it's going to go, especially in the playoffs, and especially with this style of play that they have. Mattias Ekholm was talking about it before game one of, you know, the way that they play, and he goes, it almost fires us up sometimes to have to go kill a penalty. That, you know, that's how we're wired. It's not that you're hoping for that, but, you know, they're prepared for it. But when you let a really, really good team with a lot of firepower get multiple opportunities at the man advantage, it's going to bite you. And so I would think that, you know, listening to some of the comments from the players yesterday, that has been a point of emphasis for them, you know, with the break, with the day in between games one and game two. They're going to have to be more disciplined tonight if they want to come out of Colorado with a win. And the thing is, all you got to do is win one and then come back to Bridgestone Arena and take care of business.
Yeah. Johnny in White House says, have we thought about cloning 20 Roman Yossis and only playing them? Has that been something that's in the discussion? That
would be a lot of great looking hair.
Well, I was about to say,
be a lot of hair.
Be a lot of good looking people out there on the ice.
I know. That'd be good.
Maybe that's something that's in the cards. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on the Preds as they prepare for game two tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I'll tell you why I think tonight will tell us a lot about this group, not only in this series, but moving forward for the rest of this offseason and into next year as well. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Preds and the Avalanche coming up in Game 2 tonight. Puck drop at 8:30, pregame at 7:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We already have people on the text line asking if Chase McCabe is single. So, just throwing that out there.
Yes, I am.
Chaser!
Just throwing it out there.
That is true.
I'm the messenger on the text line.
Well, all right. I appreciate
Chase is
that.
Blushing.
I just want to make sure we can get him to blush before 6:30, and mission accomplished, ladies and gentlemen.
This was Robbie and I's plan, Chase.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Is Beasley really asking if Jason Fitz and Jared Stillman share the same booster?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Beasley, you're one to talk, man.
Yeah, appreciate you, buddy. Chase, I think this game, obviously from the simple aspect of trying to stay alive in the series and come back here with a 1-1 series tonight is crucial for the Predators. That goes without saying. To me, it's more than that, though. It's I talked about this to start the show. I was really disappointed in the way that they came out the other night. I thought there's not much pressure on the Predators in this series. You know, nobody's giving them a chance to win. And I thought they were two steps slow the other night. It looked like they were skating through quicksand. And that was very disappointing to me. Now, you brought up an interesting point earlier about the style of play. Has that worn them down? And it was a condensed schedule this year. You know, there was the Olympic break that never really happened because of the COVID stuff and the NHL players not going to the Olympics. So they got a little bit of a break in there, but not much. And then it was condensed coming down the stretch. And with their style of play, the way that John Hines wants them to play, it requires them to be at or near their top level in terms of energy. And I think the Herd line could be a good example of this. They hadn't looked the same over the last month.
They're gassed.
And I don't know. They could be. Like they might be gassed. So maybe it's just as simple as that. But I just wasn't very impressed with the fight the Predators put up, especially in the first part of that game the other night. And to me, that's important tonight. Like I have no clue what the result of tonight's game is going to be. Obviously, Colorado is the favorite. And if Colorado plays like they did the other night, I think it's just going to be hard for the Predators to keep up. But you helped them way too much the other night, and you can't do that tonight. And to me, that's important not only now in this series, but trying to figure out where this team is in the long term. You know, we did discuss this yesterday on Jared versus Joe. How exactly do you feel about this group right now? Do you feel like they're close to competing? Do you feel like that they're a team that's on the rise? Because I think you ask different Preds fans that same question, you'll have different responses as to how they view this team. And if you come out and you just lay down the rest of this series, it's not going to be a good look for me.
Well, there are a lot of things here because, you know, you brought up the roster. There's some roster moves that probably need to be made. Number one on the list is obviously re-signing Philip Forsberg. You have to get that done because if you don't, then I think that completely changes your off-season strategy because you're losing your best offensive player, your best forward. So you certainly would have to address that. But let's say that you do bring him back. What's missing is what's been missing for a long time. They don't have a second line, true second line. They've been great at figuring out the first line, but they need a second line winger that can be a goal scorer. And right now, I think it's a miss on Elli Tolvanen because Elli Tolvanen has shown you a glimpse that he can be that, but that's it. He's out of the lineup. He's not even playing right now. We'll see if they put him back in tonight. I would consider it, but at the same time, like, what's he going to do? He hasn't really done anything for you from a goal scoring standpoint. So you got to find a second line forward that can score goals for you where you're not putting everything on Duchesne, Forsberg, Johansson. You got to give Granny Apple some help from that sense, or whoever is centering the second line, whether you're alternating Johansson and Granlund or not. So that's one part of it. You know, I think Phil Tomasino is on his way to potentially being that, but you still need another one. Like you're going to have to have somebody else to pair with him, and it doesn't appear to be Tolvanen. And what to your point, I do think the herd is worn down. I think that's one reason why you saw Olivier in the lineup and why they're trying that, because they just got to have a little more oomph in the lineup because the herd is gassed. I think that's just the best way to put it. This team is not deep enough to run them into the ground like they have. And so I certainly think that depth is going to be looked at. And, you know, we'll have plenty of time for the offseason discussion. But there are some players in the pipeline that I'm curious about because I think they do fit this style. Igor Afanasyev is one of them that I think could certainly help you moving forward. But that does nothing for you tonight.
Well, and tonight, I mean, you've got lineup decisions to make if you're John Hines. We talked about the goalie part of this. Honestly, I'd be – you know, I will use the word. I think I'd be shocked if it's not Connor Ingram tonight.
Yeah, I'd go Ingram.
And I know, you know, there's people that will say it wasn't all on David Rittich in the first game. And I agree with that to a certain extent. Like, I thought the Predators were pretty bad in front of him. But then you start to take a deeper look at some of the fancy stats out there. I think Adam Vingan put this out there yesterday, and he was 0.87 expected goals in game one and gave up five. You can't have that. So right. I'd be shocked if it's not Connor Ingram starting tonight in game two. You brought up the other lineup decision that I think is really interesting. Like if this was the first round against Calgary, I would expect Matthew Olivier to be in there because you know what that series is going to be. It's going to be physical. It's going to be a bloodbath out there. And, you know, this series, I'm not saying that Colorado's not physical because I think they can play that way, but it's not the same. And Tolvanen was a scratch in game one. Is he in there in game two? I think there's a chance he will be. Now, is that going to make a huge difference based on his production this year? Maybe not, but I'm interested to see where they go in that direction tonight, because what you can't have happen, like, I know that everybody for the most part was pretty bad the other night. The Johansson line didn't have a shot on goal. Not one shot on goal from Johansson, Cunning, and Tomasino the other night. And you just can't have that in the playoffs. It's part of what you talked about with the second line. When you've got Granlund, Forsberg, and Duchesne out there, who I know Duchesne scored twice the other night. Nobody was good the other night, but they were probably the best that you had the other night. Like, you've got to get something from that second line. And at this point, if it's me, I'd probably at least rather lean towards the potential of that happening with Tolvanen out there than I would be with Olivier, because this just doesn't seem like a Matthew Olivier type series to me.
No, I agree with you. I would give Tolvanen a chance, and And I'd look at the defense, too. I mean, how close is Lazan? You know, I know he skated.
Yeah.
So how close is he? Because he could certainly, you know, I don't think it could hurt at this point, you know, throwing him in there. So I certainly think that's something they have to look at. But, yeah, I would go Connor Ingram simply because what do you got to lose at this point? You talk about no pressure. I mean, go out there and just play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's honestly what you're asking him to do.
I thought he was really good the other night.
I think he was too. I mean, he let in a couple, but again, that was the theme of the game. It wasn't all on him. I mean, the air was out of the balloon at that point.
Well, and it's 5-0, so you're probably not getting the same sort of intensity level from the Avalanche as they were to start that game. I recognize that. But, I mean, the first one he gave up was kicked into his own net by Borowiecki, and the second one was an absolute missile from Nathan McKinnon. So, all in all, I thought he played pretty well the other night.
So I would do that because I just – David Rittich, nice guy. He's just not what you need in the playoffs.
No.
I mean, you signed him to truly be a backup. And, you know, that's another area that I think if Connor Ingram had not had – you know, his situation last year, he's probably the backup. They probably wouldn't have signed David Rittich after Pecorine's retirement. And I think you saw signs of that earlier in the season when Rittich was out with COVID that, hey, this is what it's probably going to look like in the future with Connor Ingram backing up UC Saros. But there's no time like the present to see what you got in that department because, you know, from the small sample size that I've seen of Connor Ingram, it makes me think, hey, you know what? I think he can be a solid goaltender in this league. Maybe not a starter, you know, every night, but he could certainly be a backup and spell Saros when you need him to. So see what you got starting tonight.
Kelton on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, is Forsberg going to show up in the playoffs for this series? As Jared says, big boy forwards. This is where you get that fat contract. It's coming from Kelton on the text line.
I know they lost 7-2, but the two goals were scored by Matt Duchene. So, you know, You can make the argument that Duchene has shown up to this point, even though I don't know if anyone really showed up the other night for the Nashville Predators. But it's a valid point because
Forsberg was way too invisible the other night.
He was, and he has been streaky. He's been a little hit or miss and a lot of miss towards the end of the season. Now he got over that 40-goal mark, but you know, with all the talk with him and a big payday and the contract. You need him to show out in the playoffs, and I know that his camp may look at it as we're not, you know, we've paused negotiations, but you know the playoffs we won't worry about that. But if you're the Predators, you're monitoring. I mean, that's certainly going to factor into what you want to do. So I agree, and it starts tonight. I think that first line needs to be the trendsetter for the Nashville Predators. They need to dictate how this game is going to go, and it starts with 9.
We got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line on the Pred, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The best and worst things in sports for this week coming up at 645 as well. All that ahead, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Cane. I was going to say Chase McCabe. 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe is in for Joe Rex Road today. He does not have a cane.
No, I don't.
Yet.
A lot of thoughts about Chase and his singleness on the text line.
This song
could be a big day for you.
This song brings back great memories for me because this was the theme song to a great show called The Cheap Seats back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
With yours truly and Ryan Porth. Oh,
what a show that was.
That was great. Rob Stanley was on that show quite a bit.
Oh, the good old days.
I think you had hair then.
Yeah. Minimal. Minimal amounts of hair. Will in Kentucky texts again, says Ingram starts and the Preds win 4-3 tonight. Ty texting in says, seeing these teams that got blown out in game one come back and win game two, does that encourage the Preds tonight? We talked about that a little bit earlier. It is the Stanley Cup playoffs. Momentum is a thing, but a lot of times that changes game to game, and we certainly saw that throughout the league last night with the exception of Carolina taking on Boston. Look, I'll go ahead and throw this call your shot Thursday out there tonight. I can almost guarantee you it's not going to be as bad for the Predators tonight as it was in game one. If it is, got some serious problems.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it's going to be – I'm not going to call win or lose. You know, I'm not going to say they're going to win or lose necessarily, but I think it'll be a much closer game, and we'll see. I mean, hell, overtime wouldn't even surprise me. You know, if that's what the – which you do not want.
8:30 starts. Love it. Give me some overtime.
We do not want that.
Oh, we know it's going to happen at some point.
For all of us. Yeah, three overtimes again. Like, it's been a few years since we've had that. But, yeah, and this team historically has bounced back. I mean, it's funny. You bring up momentum and how momentum does exist in the playoffs. I remember any mention of that word around Peter Laviolette, and you just got a bristle. I mean, he didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to talk about it. I believe it is a thing, but I also believe that confidence is a thing. And this team doesn't have a lot of confidence right now. So they got to find that. They got to get that back. Now, I was encouraged because contrary to what a lot of people say, I think a lot of people after a loss like that, you know, when the players speak, they want you to be down in the dumps and like feeling sorry for yourself. I don't. I want to bounce back. And I thought yesterday – some of the comments from some of the players, you could tell that they literally went back to the hotel room, threw it in the toilet, and flushed it. And yep. And that's really all you could do at that point. And so I would much rather see a more upbeat group, even though they just got their you-know-what handed to them the night before, because that tells me that, all right, they are looking forward. They're not looking back, because there's nothing you can do about Tuesday night. Now you got to focus on tonight.
Well, and – It's time to show a little fight to start the game and keep it within the bounds of the rules. Yeah. And you got to take care of the puck. That's the thing against this Colorado team. I thought Colorado did an outstanding job in game one of making the right decisions with the puck. And when you have a team as skilled as they are, I think a lot of times it's easy to try to force things and come in the zone and without dumping it and just try to take it in there. And I thought Colorado – they took what the Predators gave them. When they didn't have anything, they made the right decision with the puck. And that's the way the Predators have to play. Yeah, I mean, you've got to when you don't have, you know, open lanes to enter the zone, it sounds boring and a lot of people hate it, and I understand it, but you got to dump the puck in and go get it. I mean, that's the way the Predators have to play if they're going to be successful in this series. And yes, it requires an energy level that I didn't see in game one. And you got to see that in game two. You know, we talked about this yesterday, Chase, and I don't think it's going to happen because, I mean, at this point, you're in game two of the playoffs. I doubt you're going to shake things up that much. But the Herd Line's going on a month now where they've just not really been all that effective. Yeah. And, you know, we've heard Darren McFarland talk about this, moving Janot up. I mean, I think John Hines has been very hesitant to do that. But at some point, like if the Herd Line, and this is not just a game one thing, it's been this way for the last 3-4 weeks with the Herd Line where they're not having the impact on games that they were having. I do wonder if there's any point where, and maybe it's in the middle of a game tonight, where you consider moving a Janot or a Trennan up with Johansson to give maybe, you know, a different look to that second line as well. Because I've said this once, and I'll say it again now, Luke Cunnan is not a top six forward. And they keep trying to put him in the top six, and it's not going to work. It hasn't worked. It won't work moving forward. And to me, that's just not a good option for them to have in the top six right now.
You bring up a really good point, because this is something that has driven me nuts for the last few years, going back to Peter Laviolette and with John Hines. And I'm sure they're not the only team that does this, but how many times did they fall back and go put Jofa back together? Because, like, oh, we don't want to break them up because they're the only thing that we got and it's working. It's like they don't give any other combinations time to gel. Now you're in the playoffs, you don't really have time now, but you know, there were a couple of times this year that they did experiment, you know, moving like we're talking about, moving some things around, but it didn't work right away, so they went back to it. It's like, "Oh, no, I got to go back over here to the Herd. Okay, let's put them back together." And I thought when they put Olivier back in the lineup, "All right, you're going to put the OG Herd together and you'll move Janot up." But that's not what they did. They they tried to get two, you know, energy lines, so to speak, with the third and the fourth line. So I would definitely look at it, because I think either Trennan, you know, Trennan's an interesting thought, either Trennan or Janot could certainly give you a little bit of that, you know what, in vinegar while being able to score goals at the same time alongside Johansson. I like that idea. They're not going to do it, but I still like that idea.
Well, and regardless of what the lineup looks like, I mean, there was we talked about heading into the series. If you're the Predators, the advantage that you have in this series is you're supposed to be the more physical team. Now, I think people have kind of overblown the Colorado aspect of this and think that they're just, you know, like the 2016 Penguins out there and they're just all small and fast. And that's not the case. I mean, Burakovsky is a big guy. McKinnon's a big guy. You know, they've got some players back there that have some size to them. But you never really established that physicality there. Now, I understand when you're down 3-0 in the first 6 minutes of the game, it's hard to establish physicality at that point because you're chasing the game. So that's the number one thing tonight. You can't get down that early in the game and start chasing it that way. But they never got to the physical part of their game the other night, and that can't happen in a series. If you're going to give yourself a chance, you've got to impose your will and more often than not play the game the way that you want to play it and not get suckered into playing Colorado's game.
Yeah, I completely 100% agree with that. That they got to do. You got to be true to yourself at some point. And like I said, if there's some magical light switch that they can flip on to go back to kind of how they were, you know, 7-8 weeks ago, which I know doesn't really exist, but if they could find just a semblance of that, then this is going to be a different series. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to win it. You know, you and I both said Colorado in six.
Yep.
If they keep playing like they did the other night, this one's done Monday.
Yes.
I mean, this won't last very long. But again, I think there's going to be a bounce back. It's just, is the bounce back tonight enough to win you a game? Because if you come back to Nashville tied up at one, then you can use it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, anything can happen. But, you know, like I said earlier when we were talking about some of the other series, Carolina's going to win that series against Boston. You just can tell. You
Yep.
can just get a read out after two games that they are just by far the better team. And I don't think Boston has the horses to come back and beat them. We're going to see tonight. I think by the end of this game tonight, we're going to know, okay, can the Preds hang or is this one ultimately going to be over?
Yeah. Are they about to get steamrolled? Like, that could be – that certainly is on the line.
And I know you guys have talked about this, and we've talked about it in other shows, but all the pressure is on Colorado. And they didn't look like it the other night. They didn't look like they had any pressure at all.
Yeah.
So all the pressure is on Colorado, though, because – they've been picked to win the Stanley Cup by a lot of people to this point. And you know, the last couple of years, they've had a team capable of winning the Stanley Cup, and they haven't gotten to that point. And so, now I know Darren's been very outspoken that if they lose this series, Bednar's out. You know, he probably gets fired, which I don't think he's wrong.
Probably.
You know, I think there's certainly some truth to that. But, you know, you gotta force the pressure on Colorado if you're Nashville starting tonight.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds throughout the show. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. To celebrate summer concert season, get $25 all-in tickets to the more than 50 shows in the Nashville area for 1 week only. Text the keyword summer to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win. The special offer runs now through May the 10th. You can get more info at livenation.com/concertweek. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Now, Joe Rexroad usually kicks us off in this little discussion, but he's not here today, so Chase McCabe, our guest of honor, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
I will. I'll kick us off. Excited to be here. and be a part of this great segment. So I'm going to be the racing nerd for a second with my best.
Please do.
So the Hall of Fame voting took place yesterday. And they're at the point with the NASCAR Hall of Fame where they're kind of – they put the obvious names in. And now they're kind of going back and putting some people that deserve it, but they may not be the most well-known names. So one of the guys that was voted in yesterday is Kirk Shelmerdine. And for even the most diehard racing fans, you may not know who that is. But he was behind Dale Earnhardt. He was the crew chief for Dale Earnhardt for four of his seven championships at Richard Childress Racing. He was the guy that invented the Flying Aces pit crew that Dale had in the late 80s and the 90s, really. And just a fantastic mechanic and a really good guy. He was a racer in his own right. And so I know a lot of the racing community was excited to see that he was getting the call to the Hall of Fame. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was really pushing for him because he had so much success with his dad. And so I thought that was really, really cool. So, again, a lot of people don't know who that is, but if you're a big Dale Earnhardt fan, he was a big reason why Dale Earnhardt was as successful as he was in the 90s.
The man behind the Intimidator.
Exactly.
I like it. Chase, your worst thing in the world of sports.
Okay, the worst thing. And I am curious of what both of you think about this, and I'm sure you talked about it, have talked about it some, but Taylor Lewan, and we love Taylor Lewan. He is just a tremendous personality and a pretty good left tackle too. But the other night,
according to most Titans fans,
the Predator, yeah, thank you, Mike. The Predators tweet out that it's 2-0.
Yeah,
that's all it said. All the tweets said, and Taylor Lewan quote tweets it, "Hockey Town, yeah, let's go." And the Preds reply with, "Taylor, we're losing."
Yes.
Now, I initially seeing that, I'm like, come on, Taylor. Come on, dude. Like, you got to pay attention. What are you doing?
Check the phone, man.
Why aren't you watching the game? Like, don't just do that. And then I think about it, and I go, okay, a lot of people get information from Twitter. Is the Predators Twitter account somewhat responsible? Because if it just says 2-0, I can understand the assumption that the Predators are winning. You know, that like, it's just that's all it says. Because you don't say 0-2.
You don't.
Know, unless you say down 0-2. Like, you could say that, but you don't say the score is 0-2 or 1-2. You say 2-0. So, again, I got to put some onus on Taylor Lewan that you got to be better. You got to check. But at the same time, does Preds Twitter share a little bit of the blame?
I don't think so.
It was a bad situation, so that's why it's my worst.
Because I think, like, if you follow enough teams on Twitter, you know that when they score, they're going to be way more excited than 2-0.
Yeah.
Just out there.
There will be a video, a GIF, all of it.
So I put this one on Taylor.
And listen, Sarah does a tremendous job with the Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's awesome. Like, so I'm not picking on her necessarily, but I think Pred's Twitter has gotten funny over the last year and a half or whatever it's been. But I laughed, you know.
Always funny.
To pick on Taylor is always fun. And to give him credit, even though this is my worst in sports, I will give him a ton of credit because he owned it.
He owned it. He did.
He owned up to it. He said, "I'm a loser." Like, and I was watching that a couple of people, you know, in the media quote tweeted him, and he went and responded. He's like, "I deserve every bit of this."
Oh yeah.
So kudos to you, Taylor, for taking one for the team.
It was a nice, fun kind of soft spot in an otherwise brutal game to watch.
Oh
yeah. Night. Yep. There's any questions?
And it snowballed. The funny thing was, at that point, it was 2-0, and it just snowballed after that.
It's now 5-0, Taylor. Not for the Predators. Michelle Konecznik, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, I'm going to start with my worst thing in sports. This was in the Warriors-Memphis basketball game the other night. It was the Dylan Brooks foul on Gary Payton. I'm sure a lot of people heard Steve Kerr's comments after the game. Obviously, we saw the Draymond foul in Game one, which was a flagrant two, and he got, you know, ejected for that. This, I personally think, was way worse. But basically the foul is he's running up behind him and goes for the block, but kind of looks like he pushed him. You know, Gary Payton ends up fracturing his elbow. So that was just really dirty. I think Steve Kerr's comments after the game really, you know, represented. He's like, we signed a code of conduct. You never want to put a player's career in trouble. You know, you play tough, but that was a little too dirty, and it just sucks for the Warriors. He's out. Sucks for, you know, Gary Payton that he's also out of this series.
Not a great look for Dylan Brooks.
No. Yeah, no. Especially since Draymond, when I saw that play, I was like, he better get ejected because that is 10 times worse, I think, than the Draymond foul the night before or the game before.
Yeah.
But then my best in sports is actually Draymond Green, because in the same game, he got poked in the eye or something, and his eye was bleeding. And that's not the best part. Just keep listening, people.
Jeez.
I know. I'm.
All right.
Draymond was in pain. My best thing in sports.
That sounded really bad when it just came out. But he's walking, back into the locker room to get fixed up. And the Memphis crowd is cheering, and he just gives them the double birds. And I just thought that was amazing. And then his press conference afterwards, he was like, you know what? If they're going to cheer for me while I have blood running down my eyeball, I make $25 million a year. I can get fined. That's fine. I'll go make it up with an appearance. I just love the double bird. So shout out Draymond for that.
Honestly, the double bird, you don't want to overuse it.
Yeah.
But it is underutilized. Like Bud Adams.
The Bud
Adams double barrel salute. Like, God rest his soul. I love that.
Hey, this Warriors-Grizzlies series may get a little spicy.
It is. Ja
kind of looked at Steph Curry at the end of the game and was like, we're about to have some fun.
I love that matchup. But another worse in sports, the fact that there's not an NBA playoff game tonight,
what in the world is going on.
Yeah, there's something wrong there.
Agreed. It's incredible. All right, my best thing in sports, we've only really seen one instance of it so far, and it was a great one, overtime playoff hockey. Especially overtime playoff hockey with crowds fully back in there.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, you know, obviously I was watching the Preds Avalanche game the other night, but my other screen was on Pittsburgh and New York in the triple overtime game. And, you know, Malkin ends up scoring the game winner in the third overtime. But just the suspense that goes with overtime playoff hockey, I believe it's the best thing in sports. Like, with knowing that, you know, the game could end with any shot at any moment, it's awesome. Overtime playoff hockey. My favorite thing in sports, so it's my best thing in sports for this week.
I love it. That's a good one.
Worst thing in sports, I got two things here. Number one is the Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis comment situation that I spoke about yesterday here on the program. It's so stupid. I think this is one of the dumbest stories ever. I talked about it yesterday. It's not Ryan Tannehill's job to mentor Malik Willis, and we'll get to more of this coming up here in just a few minutes. But I just thought it was so dumb that this blew up the way that it did. And honestly, I shouldn't be that surprised because it's Ryan Tannehill, and everything around Ryan Tannehill right now is going to blow up. But it was quite the story yesterday, and it's just – I think it's so stupid. Secondly, my second part of the worst thing in sports, Chase, have you watched the Cincinnati Reds try to play baseball this year?
I have.
They've won 3 games. They might end up winning like 26 games this year.
Yeah, they're all
out of 162.
We love you, Porter.
They suck. Oh my goodness, are they awful.
Love you, Ricky. So the other night I was hanging out with Rick, and we were at a bar and had him change the channel, and they put it on a Reds game. He's like, "Oh, the Reds are playing." And like turned it on, and I was like, "Are they? Are they?
Know what they're doing?" Oh, man. I mean,
they basically have a double A team out there
Awful. I feel really bad for Joey Votto. Have fun this year, bud.
I don't feel bad for him at all.
He's getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that they're in the position they're in is because of that contract. Yeah. I mean, as upset as I was about Freddie Freeman and that whole deal, I look at the Cincinnati Reds and go, well, you know, well, okay, that's
could
why.
Could be worse.
And I love Votto, but.
Ugh. Shout out to Ryan Porth. Chris on the text line says, worst thing in sports was the regret I had Tuesday night after finishing that cup of coffee at 8 o'clock in preparation for the Preds game because I was left wide awake at midnight and had nothing to do but watch the Preds lose. Maybe tonight will be different, but no coffee this time. It's coming from Chris on the text line. So leaving the coffee out of it this time around. It's a bold strategy because if it's a good game, you might need that coffee.
Our text line is lit today.
It's lit.
Super lit. Always in the mornings. Right?
Somebody thinks you look like WWE superstar Sheamus, which.
I'll take it.
I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
Give me some of that Sheamus money. I'll take it.
Yeah. He's a Preds fan. Preds season ticket holder.
Yeah, he is. We'll continue to take your thoughts, your submissions for your best and worst things in sports. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get into the Ryan Tannehill situation. We'll get Chase's thoughts on Tannehill's comments about not being his job to mentor Malik Willis. That's coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine prop bets from multiple games and now multiple sports as well. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Combine NBA playoff player props you love with your favorite baseball home run hitters for a chance to score an even bigger payout, or maybe you like the hockey part of it with the Stanley Cup playoffs going on. So I'd go Tyler Herro over on points for the Miami Heat, and I would go Connor McDavid over on points for the Edmonton Oilers. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you don't want to build your own same game parlay, check out their popular same game parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.